I want to welcome you who are joining us online this morning. I've got a text from our son joining us and his family from Princeton. That's always cool, isn't it? Amen. You get to be together and as a family, but yet, you know, we're not in the same room together, but that's pretty cool. I just was thinking this morning about the wonderful opportunities that we have in our world today that they didn't have years ago. I was thinking this morning about, you know, in time, you know, just as soon as we are ready, we've got our tech team back here that's doing a fantastic job ministering to folks every week through our live stream ministry. And every week I hear from people during the week that they were watching on Sunday. And then we typically, you know, receive comments in regards to the messages that are listened to via the podcasting. And it's just an amazing leveraging of technology. Amen. You know, the devil wants to take this technology and, you know, grab it into the darkness and do all kinds of things that'll steal away your life and destroy and just bring darkness into your world. And you know what? Let's just make sure that he doesn't get the internet, the signal, the bandwidth in our home. Amen. Let's make sure that it is completely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and for his purposes. And I believe that God will use our best attempts, even if they're flawed at sometimes, that he'll use our best attempts at sharing the word through the internet. I was thinking today, you know, we could easily, we're ready now, we could easily send out two by two, one tech person and one chaplain over there to the pad shelter, and they could be joining us this morning via live stream. I was thinking about sending out two by two. Well, we're ready to do this. We could send a chaplain and a tech person to make sure that folks at Pinecrest Nursing Home are all together in a room like this and able to participate in our service. Amen. I was thinking, well, we're ready. We could do this. We could have a tech person and a chaplain go to Kreider. And if it works for them and the timing works for them, they could jump to the activity room and they could turn on the TV and join us in the service. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm just thinking, you know, we've just barely tapped the surface as to what God wants to do with this. But what's happening back there at the tech table has, you know, taken years for us to develop an investment. And the technology and the equipment has been a marvelous blessing. And thank you for those of you who have dug deep to make sure that sacrifice has happened. And you know, the next calling, the next step for us is to go out into the community and use that technology, because it's as simple as going and sharing the good word with the folks and making sure that there's no people, population group, that if they're ready to hear the word, they're hearing the word. Amen. And if it's Living Well Church that God wants to bring into their lives, let's make sure that we're there and ready for them. I was thinking this morning, why couldn't we go to a hospital and turn on the TV there, and Living Well Church is there, and got a chaplain right there, and able to bring people in, participate in the service. That's something. Who would have thought that we could do that 20 years ago? And yet it's a reality that we're just kind of standing on the edge, ready to take that step. Amen. And here we are able to get updates from, tell me the name of the state again, Oaxaca. I have a hard time remembering. I'm going to have to tattoo it on my arm or something, Oaxaca. And then I'll have to do the spelling, you know, the pronunciation on my arm too.
Oaxaca.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, Oaxaca. We get to hear updates occasionally from Amber and Honey, you know, via, what's that thing called, Facebook, you know, that little thing that, you know, you get messages and you all share with what God is doing, and it's wonderful to be able to leverage technology like that. So we welcome you who are joining us online this morning, and it's just a privilege for you, for us to be partnering with you in ministry. Be thinking about Easter. It's coming right up, and I'm so excited about the teen drama that is going to be happening here on Easter Sunday. So excited. I have intentionally stayed a step away because I want the full impact of what that is to just hit me hard on Sunday morning. And so I'm so excited that we are here. We are partnering with our Lost Lake Church out here, and we're getting ready to do something that potentially has a pretty wide impact, circle of influence, as we send this out online, and as well as at Living Well in Lost Lake, and maybe even maybe other churches will open their doors to the ministry as well. My heart just did a little jump when I heard that Amber and Honey were going to be able to come back and share with us an update on what was happening in Oaxaca. I'm so sorry. I'm trying. It just doesn't come to me. So thank you, Oaxaca. So whenever I look like a blank stare and I'm referencing a state, southern state in Mexico, just go ahead and say Oaxaca. Thank you. They don't need the help, but I do. Okay. And I can honestly tell you that there's a kinship between Honey, especially Honey and I, because we've spent more time together, that is so rare. And Honey, I would write you guys a check today for $100,000. I'm serious. I believe in your ministry that much. If I could, I would. I believe in what you guys are doing. And I'm not trying to raise money by saying that. I'm just saying we believe in you guys. I've heard the stories a couple times, three or four times. Honey's been over to the barber shop this month. And more than the stories of what God is doing in Oaxaca. Nailed it. I get to hear his heart. And I get to hear about a heart that is totally surrendered, a family whose hearts are totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, in doing a work that's difficult. But oh, the lives that are being changed. Amen. Would you welcome Amber and Honey and kids? I believe we have children's ministries for you if you would like to go to that this morning. But that's up to your folks, whatever you would like to do. Jeanette's ready to receive you if you'd like to go with her. So she's the pretty lady in the yellow sweater getting up. And if you'd like to go with her, you're sure welcome to, kids. Would you welcome with me Amber and Honey, and then I'll let you guys just take it from here. Would you welcome them?
Good to be here with you guys this morning. Once again, we were here back in July. And we didn't really even know if we were actually going to make it this time, because we had our plans of coming on the 1st of March, and on the way to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning, our tire popped and we missed our flight. They wouldn't refund our tickets or anything. We're like, okay, must be in God's plan. We're not supposed to come. So as disappointing as it sounded, I was like, God, you're in control. There must be a reason behind this, so have with me. And then we got back to his parents' house, and his mom called us down and said, you know what, I got this money put aside, but I don't know what I'm going to use it for, so I want you guys to use it to get new plane tickets and to actually go back to the States. And after that, another friend of ours had heard what was going on, said, I want to help you guys out too. So after all, God came through for us, and we were able to make it up here. And this whole trip, like, I've seen God working in really awesome ways. He's answered prayers. He's became more real to me. It's been really cool. So I know that we were supposed to come, and God totally showed up for us. I wanted to fill you in a little bit about what has been going on back at the orphanage in the past, however months it's been, 9 months, We still have five boys, and last time I was here, I told you guys that we were sending three of them off to school, two of them for the first time this past semester. Well, one of them that we thought wasn't going to do so well actually surprised us and did really awesome this past semester in school. The other boy had returned after taking a break, and he was doing fairly well too, but we have another one that we thought was going to do well, but ended up being that he struggled. He skipped his classes. He would go play video games and do other things instead of studying, and he says they just let them fail me. So we decided to pull him out this semester, and now he's working with a Christian friend of ours at an auto body shop, learning a trade and saving up money so that he'll help pay his way for the next school year, but next August, I think it is. And so we're hoping that he'll learn a little responsibility, and by paying for things, he'll actually value it more and realize, okay, well, I put something into this. I need to put out an effort. So three of those boys are at school, and then we have two at home with us. One of them is more of a struggle. He definitely has a big spiritual battle going on for his life. His name is Omar, and if you guys are ever praying for us, I pray that you'd specially lift him up. The only person that can change him, as with any of us, is Jesus, and we just need him to bring freedom to his life. And so that's our hope. We're just waiting for that breakthrough in this child, as well as the other kids that are with us, who all have battles in their life from everything that they've lived, and they're teenagers. So in general, teenagers kind of struggle with deciding to do what's right against, you know, what they feel tempted to do, to rebel. And so we're there trying to guide them and direct them and pray for them. So we know that God's at work. He's doing that. We've also been able to complete, we were working on the dormitories. We were able to get the roof finally on, and Honi just had to climb up to do some of the structure work with his dad, but he didn't have to do the most dangerous part, which was putting on the actual roofing material on the sides. I always struggle to find the word for that. but we were able to have a guy that was working for us, putting tiling in the bathrooms and stuff. He said, hey, I'll do it for you. So he got up there with his son, and they tackled the challenge of putting the roofing on. He put a rope around his stomach, and he was hanging face down off of this higher than two-story building. And so, yeah, Honi was definitely thankful that this guy was up there, not him. And I was too, because I was kind of worried that if something happened, then I wouldn't have a husband. So God has blessed us in that. Our next project is to put doors and windows in the dormitories, and then hopefully soon after that, and tile the floor. And soon after that, we're looking forward to being able to move the boys into there and actually start using the building. So God's doing things. He's moving things on. It's not always in our timing. Honi always tries to make a plan, and he's like, okay, well, yes, that wasn't God's plan, because it's just not working out the way that we expected. But we just trust in him that he knows. He's got his timing. Maybe we want it finished before he does, but he has a reason behind that, and so we're just going to wait on him. Thank you guys for backing us up in prayer and supporting us in our ministry. Right now, if he's got the video working, you can play the slideshow, and they can see a little bit what's been going on.
So that's how we found the property. Like this, there's the area where we park our cars, and you can see afar behind, like in the back picture, it's the property how it was 4 years ago. And this is how it looks right now. We've been trying to work on get everything ready. Before I moved there, when I was praying, I told God that I wanted to see results within 5 years. And if nothing happened, then I wasn't supposed to be there then. But God has blessed us. I told my wife early this year at New Year's, I will not change the last 4 years for anything. Like, I know traits that I didn't know before, and I got wiser. I know more than what I did before. Like you can see the roof. This is a two-story bedrooms. We hope to be able to hold up to 50 kids there. That's actually me, the one with the hat and the red shirt. So I was walking up in the beam when we were welding the roof. Last July when I was here, I was telling John that I wanted to learn how to weld. So I had the perfect opportunity to learn how to do that. I'm really afraid of heights, and I like always to like not give up to what I'm up to, even though I'm scared. So I went up and I start welding and all that. But my dad told me, "Can you pull out that line off there?" And I walk across the beam. And when I was walking across the beam, somehow I looked down, and that's a horrible mistake to do. You can see how high it is. It's about, I'll say, 60 feet. So when I was walking across the beam, like, I looked down and my brain froze. And I wanted to go back, and I couldn't. Then my dad said, "Ben, keep going." I couldn't either. So I told my wife, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that roofing thing, because I can't." So anyway, I bought a harness, and I climb up there to help the worker that was going to help me do it. And when I was up there, I was just shaking. And we did like two sheets of the plywood that goes underneath. And he told me, "I want my son to earn some experience, so why don't you let me do that with him? And you can just go somewhere else and do it." And well, I thought, well, you don't have to tell me that twice. So thank you. Like Amber said, thank you for everything you guys have done. And I planned this morning a message, but when John was leading the worship here, and when he was talking about what we get to do as Christians, God spoke to me, and it changed my whole plan. And well, if you will pray with me for this. Thank you, Lord, for having us today as we worship your name. We hope that we come here with humble hearts, and we open our hearts so we can hear what you have to teach us and to tell us. Help us to improve our Christian living in your way. That's my prayer for us today, Lord, as we listen what you have to say. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. One of the coolest things about my ministry is that the Bible says, look out for the orphans and widows in distress. And that's the thing that I get to do. I don't have to if I don't want to, but I get to do that. And I don't do it because God will love me more, because actually I'm not here to talk about my ministry. I'm here to share and to spread the gospel across the people around me. I was saying, the first Saturday that I was here and we had the Bible study, we were talking about the desire to serve. And this is a thing that is being in my heart a lot. Like, how many times in church we have said we desire to serve, but we hardly perform our basic duties as Christians. I was sharing with the men at the Bible study that before, when I wasn't saved, I was playing soccer, let's say a Saturday, and I sprained my ankle. It happened more than once. My toes were black. You couldn't see any difference from my calf to my ankle. It was all the same size and purple. But next day, Sunday morning, I'll be up for my first soccer match. And I will play it even when my leg was really in pain. But now I got saved and I don't go to church because it's raining. So somehow, some way, we lost, you know, the perception of what really matters. I'm not here to talk about the orphanage. I'm here to talk about Jesus and what his task was for us. So I would like for you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And we are going to find about Saul's conversion. And this talks to me a lot. And it says in the verses 1, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requests letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must to do." So we are this guy, and there's nothing closer than when God found me than when God found Saul. I was full of anger. I was full of threats. I mean, you mess up with me, I'll pull out my gun and I'll shoot you. Because don't forget, I'm a concealed carrier. Don't forget, if you mess up with my family. In Mexico, we said you'll learn how to love God in foreign land. We are full of threats. It's so easy to get angry. That's how the Lord found me. I was angry at everyone. I hated everyone around me. I hated the orphanage. Because all I could think about it was myself. Then he found me and he called me and he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" I want to encourage you. So I'm going to try to go through this very fast. So there's this man in chapter 9, still in Acts, named Ananias. I hope I said it right. And he's praying. And God calls him and says, "Go out and go to the street named right," because when God calls us, he's very exact about what he wants us to do. And there's a man there, his name is Saul. And Ananias said, "Saul, he came here to kill us. He hates us." And the verse 15 is the verse that I want. And the Lord said to him, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, and as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Some other Bible says he's chosen to carry my name. God found us. God found me full of anger in my heart. I hated everyone, but he chose me and got me out of there to carry his name, not the orphanage. The name of Jesus. When he resurrected, the first thing he told his disciples is, you might go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to preach about yourself. Right? No. To preach about how good church is at living well. To preach about why the Cubs won the World Series. To talk about what is the best computer, Mac or Windows. To talk about who is the most important football team, the Packers or the Bears. No. He didn't call us to do that. But so many times we are so eager to anger and we are willing to defend our stand about those things. I won't talk to you because you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat. I don't talk to you because you're a Bear fan and I'm a Packer fan. I'm supposed to hate you. Oh, what you believe is garbage. Well, let me tell you, we're not up for that. We're up to carry the name of Jesus. He grabbed that passion that I had for soccer. He took that anger that I had towards people and turned it into a passion that I have for the Lord. And I'm not here to talk to you about the orphanage and how God has blessed my life, because I don't have to speak about that. People get to see that. I'm here to say, you carry the name of Jesus. You're up to that. You get to do that. And if you're not doing it, why do you speak about deserving to serve? Because you are not doing it. Bible in Matthew says, blessed is the servant whose master finds him doing that he was told to do. We were told to carry the name of Jesus. Are we doing that? Is Jesus the number one in your life? Is Jesus really the thing you're carrying to your work? Is Jesus present in your house? Is Jesus present in your marriage? So many people has come to us and said, you know, honey, I want to be a missionary in Africa. And they come to Mexico and stay there for like 2 months. And they are crying every morning. Oh, because I miss Burger King. Oh, because I miss Chicago pizza style. Because I miss Portillo's hot dogs. Because I don't have this. I don't have that. I wish I'd be home. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're not up for that. You're up to carry Jesus' name. I have found myself so many times saying, sorry, Jesus, because I wasn't doing it today. When I turn on the news in Mexico, and I hear all about what's been going on in here, and I hear this guy talking about how awful Mexicans are, I get angry. And I'm like, oh, I wish I was there. And then God's telling me, yeah, I thought you weren't a U.S. citizen or a Mexican citizen. I thought you belonged to me. So why this is so important to you? Do you get this offended when people is cursing my name? Do you get this offended when somebody brings down the gospel by their example? Do you do that? Or no, you just let it pass because, oh, it's my friend. I want to be okay with him so he can spit at Jesus again. And I'll just watch because it's not me. I didn't do that. How passionate you are about Jesus. If you're not, I can't do anything about it. It's one thing that it's up to you and God. You know, I always tell the boys in the orphanage, gospel, the gospel is a very selfish thing itself. And let me explain this, because it's not up to John. When I'm in the presence of Jesus, Jesus is not going to say, Brother John, why you didn't take care of Honey? Why you didn't make sure he had a perfect relationship with me? He's not going to say that. He's going to say, Honey, what's up between you and me? I could say, the Bible says, I could say, you know, I help orphans. I cast out demons. I perform miracles. And he'll say, yeah, I don't know who you are. Because you did that on your name. Luke says, in the book of Luke, it says, whoever wants to follow me shall pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Well, it seems like everybody in church just decide to pick up the cross. We hang it in our necks. But nobody wants to deny themselves. It seems like it's me first, then me, and then me. That sounds like, I always tell Amber, that's the rule for Mexican driving in Mexico. It's always your turn. It's always about you. Well, Jesus said, deny yourself. That's why gospel is kind of selfish, because it's about you and Jesus. But whatever you are, you're carrying the name of Jesus. Ephesians 6, Paul is talking about praying, about reading the scripture, about wearing the spiritual armor. And then he finished saying at verse 6:19, says, and pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. Some other version says, pray for me so when I open my mouth, I will declare the mysteries of the gospel. But how can I declare the mysteries of the gospel if the first thing that comes out of my mouth is how much I hate my president? Why? Is Jesus really the center of our lives? Paul keeps saying in verse 20, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Paul went from persecuting the church to being the one persecuted. That's a big change. That's what God wants to do in your life. A 360 turnaround. From persecute him, hating people. New command I give you, he said, love one another. Those are the things that we get to do. But how we're going to do them? If we hardly, sometimes it's so painful to go to church. I told some of my friends in Mexico, I'm counseling some of them. They have alcoholic issues, and they've been fighting for that for years. And when I'm talking to them, because they just got saved, they are like, honey, you can't believe it. Like, I'll be partying till like 4 a.m. in the morning, Saturday. And then Sunday morning, if my friends will say, let's get up together to go somewhere at 6 a.m. in the morning, I'll go. Even if I had the hangover thing. Now, if my head hurts and all that. But I become Christian. And if I start watching a movie Saturday night and I go to bed at 12, then I can't get up to church because I didn't sleep well. Priorities. What are your priorities? Is Jesus the top of them? Are you denying yourself? Are you carrying properly His name? When you speak, do you do it boldly about Him? Or you're like me. I found myself doing that. So quick to speak about my favorite soccer team that even when some of my friends say, oh, I believe this team is better, I get in this discussions with them. Very high. And we're breathing very, very heavy. And we don't speak to each other for like a week. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. But then when Jesus calls me and said, go to Him and speak to Him about me, I'm like, what if He gets offended? What if He gets mad at me? What if He doesn't speak to me for like a week? Well, it seems like I didn't care for some other things. But when it's about Jesus, well, you know. I told John, I think last week, that sometimes I have found myself even looking for Bible verses to support my standing. I feel that God is leading me to do something, and then I start looking. Well, reasons to not do that, that are in the Bible. But we do that. You are here, and let me remind that to you. You are here to carry Jesus' name, none other. There's no name under Jesus. There's no other. Paul says there's only one name that will make men safe, and that's Jesus. There's one name that will cast out demons, that will perform miracles. It's Jesus. I was reading this morning also in Luke. I think it was chapter 9. And there's this guy that says, I want to follow you, but let me go there and bury my mom and dad. And then I'll follow you. Jesus, when he speaks to them, it's not like, oh, let them bury him themselves. He's not talking about that. Verses before, like a chapter before probably, he just said, whoever wants to follow me, pick up the cross, deny yourself. It's not about what you're doing. It's about who's first. The guy didn't say, let me take care of my parents. He said, let me. Me. Do this. Then I'll follow you. When Jesus called me to move out where I was very comfortable, you know. I had the other orphanage with my parents. It wasn't my full responsibility. A bigger city. With a bigger city, well, you know what that means too. There's more access to different things. Amber had a phone. I had a phone. Then we move out. Now, when we were in the airport, on our way here, she got pulled over because she didn't have a cell phone. She got checked. The guy on the security point and the checkpoint, he said, "Where's your phone?" And she said, "Well, I don't have one." Okay. Then a lady came in. "Can you stand up over here?" And they did the checking. Because it's so unusual. And when people was asking, "Really, Amber, you don't have another phone?" And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter if we had two phones, because where we are, we don't have reception." If I want to do a phone call from my cell phone, I have to drive like 20 minutes. And then I can do that with very low and bad reception. I mean, I'll have to dial the same number 10 times. And when finally the phone call goes in, my dad answers to me and, "Oh, good, did you call?" And I'm like, I've been calling you for the last 30 minutes. And he's like, "Oh, it's the first time the phone rang. Done it before." So it doesn't matter. But we were very comfortable. And when I was talking to some friends, they were telling me, "You know, it doesn't matter if you don't go to Tlaxiaco, where we are now. It doesn't matter because you're here. You're still looking out for orphans and widows, and you're still doing God's will." But then I said, "But if I don't go, I will not be doing what he told me to do." You know, I had the perfect excuse to not do it, because I was being a good Christian. I was doing what I was supposed to do. Coming to church, being in church, is not about you. It's not about you. I mean, people twist their mouths about going to church. "Ah, if I go there, they don't talk to me." Well, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about what you come here to get. It's about why you came here to give. What you're bringing here to give. And Proverbs says, "Because God delights in a man who offers a clean heart." God delights when people brings to him a broken heart, a humble heart. That's what he wants. And when we do so, then we will be able to carry his name properly. This is what happened to Paul. God first broke him down and taught him, "You need me more than what you think." I mean, when I read it the first time, I thought, why would he say, "Who are you, Lord?" Because he didn't know. He was persecuting the people that was following him. And Jesus said, "You're persecuting me." So I have to tell you this morning, who are you carrying with you? Is it Jesus? And if you're not carrying Jesus, then you're persecuting him. It's so amazing. The Bible says that there were so many men around Paul, they could hear the voice, but they saw nothing. That speaks to me about the spiritual standing of the church. There might be a lot of people here hearing what God is saying, but only a few will see it. Only a few will live it. And I hope that wherever you go, you'll carry Jesus' name. We get to do that. Don't worry about anything else. I had to move there, and then I thought, well, you know, in the big city, there's my family doctor for so many years. I go to this city. They don't have a hospital. What am I going to do if my kids get sick? But that's about denying myself too. I'll follow you wherever you lead me, because I'm carrying you. And if you said so, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than yours. As heaven and earth are so far apart, that's my way compared to yours, says the Lord. I'm done trying to understand what he wants me to do. Because when I'm, you know, I try looking in the Bible, like, and there's, I told John, I realized that there's no place in the Bible that says, understand what I said first, and then you do it. It says, if you trust me, you'll do as I told you. Remember, wherever you go this week, you're carrying his name. And when you will open your mouth with passion, let's hope you don't use that passion to preach about the Cubs or the Packers or the Bears or the Wildhawks. I think that's a hockey team, right? I don't. Whatever. Or which place has better pizza? I've seen some people, and it's very sad, that when it's about food, I mean, they'll break family time, they'll break schedules, they will. But when it's about church, I mean, right now probably some of you are angry because it's noon and it's 4 minutes past lunch. You know? But this is important. This is very important. When you open your mouth boldly, with passion, do it for Jesus. Because he's the only one who actually deserves that. And if not, you know, like I said before, many times I have come to my home, kneel on my bed, on my couch, and I have to say, forgive me, Jesus, because today I was very passionate. I had a lot of passion for myself, and I forgot about you. That's my word for you guys today. When Pastor John was telling about our duty with aliens, it's not about aliens. It's about everyone. Because we are carrying Jesus. And Jesus cares for everyone. You know, there might be people that you're thinking they don't deserve God's forgiveness because they did this to me, they did that for against me. Oh, they're so bad. But so I was. I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought that I had no remedy, that there will be no redemption for my life. And Jesus is still doing a lot in my life. You have no idea. Every day I have to get up and say what I have to do today. And so many times I find myself even crying because I don't want to do that. People say I don't want to go to church because they control my life. They tell me what to do. And I don't want that. The only way you're going to find Jesus is when you are down. And I want to finish with this. As an example. Like 4 years ago, I had to go to a CPR training. because we have the people in the church, we have the orphans, and whenever something happens, we have to be just there and know how to do that. So while I was doing the training, I came home, and then I saw this thing. Somebody was saying, "Honey's death." It was a vision. I was laying on the ground. I could see myself. And I heard somebody saying, "Honey's death." And I saw everyone was running away like crazy and desperate people. And then I saw a paramedic jumping in and start mouth to mouth and push-ups on my chest and trying to get me back to life. And then when I saw the paramedic's face, it was me. I was giving CPR to myself. And I understand that I was doing that for so long. Galatians 2:20 says, "Because I am crucified with you, the old man, the old me, is death. And it's you who lives in me." But I realize I'm trying to keep that old dude alive. So bad. So bad. So desperate about doing that. Pray with me, too. I'm so sorry, Lord, for the times that I've been trying to keep myself alive. For the times that I haven't been honest with you. For the times that I haven't been carrying your name how I should be doing it. For the times that I have put myself before you. Let me remind every day how high the price was, and you pay it for me. And all that you ask is not a little bit of me. You ask everything of me. A sincere heart, a humble heart before you. I recognize there's no higher place than being at your feet, but let me be there, doing what you say, and putting you before what I want to say, putting you before what I want to do, but accomplishing your will for my life. I pray for this church, Lord, that is here today to worship your name, that have come here to hear you, that have come here to pour their hearts out to you, Lord. And I ask them that you will bring a conviction to their lives, that they will preach no other name but yours, that your name will be highly express in their lives, that everyone that is around them will be unable to deny that it's you who is living in their lives. Let this city see that we worship you in this place, that it's all about you, none about us, Lord. And that wherever we go, Lord, we will follow you, doing whatever it takes. We are here for you, Lord. Thank you because you loved us so much. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for saving me. Take away my anger, for taking away my hatred, for cleaning my heart, Lord. But now I want you to come in and to you stay permanently, constantly in my heart, in my mind, in my mouth, Lord. and that wherever I'll go, I'll be a chosen instrument to carry your name before everyone, Jews and Gentiles. And even when the times comes when I'll have to wear chains like Paul did, Lord, that I will be still reminding that I'm an ambassador for your name, that I'm representing you. And let me have a worthy life according to your name, to what you want, to what you ask. That's my prayer, Lord. Come here, come to this place and fill us, Lord. Do your work, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Philippians 1, verses 6 says, he, Paul is writing, I'm convinced that he who start the work in your life will complete it on Jesus Christ's day. It's about his timing. Thank you.
Isn't it a blessing to know that God is stirring deeply in hearts, that, you know, sometimes we get hints of it and you're like, Lord, do you really want to take me that deep? And then somebody gets up and testifies, you know, and you're like, yeah, he's calling me that deep. Thank you, Oni and Amber. Praise his name. As we close this morning, I'd like to give all of us an opportunity to partner with Amber and Honey. And I'd like to invite our ushers to come. As Steve, would you come and lead us in, there you are, in I Surrender All. And we'll allow our worship team to remain seated, and we'll, if you would just lead us, Steve. I know your voice is he says it's in the basement this morning. This is the first morning that I've ever known Steve to be a bass. What a joy to be a part of what God is doing around the world. And we know ultimately that we're not raising money for an orphanage. We're just following Jesus as disciples, amen? And it really comes down to picking up our cross, following him. And I didn't come up with that. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. Amen. The happiest, most joyful, fulfilled times of my life have been the times of the highest level of sacrifice. And at the end of that, after I've done the section of time that I needed to do for that moment to be obedient, I'm like, why did I even resist this? The blessing is amazing. Amen. Praise his name. Let's pray and bless the offering as it is received. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege we have of partnering with you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to be a part of life change, to see love replace hatred, to see grace replace bondage. We praise you, Lord. What you are able to do and what you're doing. Father, may not anyone leave here this morning not knowing the joy of full surrender. Thank you, Lord, for life to the full that you call us to and provide for us as we lay our lives down. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this hymn together, all to Jesus. It was to this song that God called me when I was in high school. I remember God's call in my life was to surrender all, and it hasn't changed. I'm finding more of me that needs to be surrendered every day, but I thank him for the privilege that he received my all. Amen. And whatever he's able to do with it, may he continue to bless. Amen. If you haven't experienced the joy of giving all, let me just tell you, it's risky. It'll cost you everything. It could be a slow physical death. It won't be easy, and I'm not sure you want to do it, but it's worth it. In that second verse, Steve.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken.
Life is. I read Pastor Nathan's message this morning, and I was in Ezekiel chapter 37. He said, picture this. You bring a bag of dry bones into your doctor and say, Doc, can you bring this bag of dry bones to life? He's just going to laugh. And then Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 5. God says, I'll put new life in you. I'll put flesh on you. I'll breathe my life into you, but the death has to come first. That's what Honi was talking about. Let's not bring the old man back to life in our image. Let's let Jesus bring forth his image in us. And that's the story of Easter. Amen. I like what you said earlier in the month when you first arrived, and that is, God is not in the business of turning bad people to good people. He's in the business of bringing the dead to life. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your partnership in ministry. I love you. Have a great week.